Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And it's time we take a look at stories in the Lakeville Journal and sometimes in the Millerton News as well. You find them on the web at tricornernews.com, at newsstands throughout our region. And also, you can find them by going to tricornernews.com and home delivery. But registering at tricornernews.com, you can get a subscription there. With that, we're going to bring them in and say good morning. I do believe we have everybody on board here. Let's see. The key one we want to check on is Janet. You there, Janet?
Yes, good morning.
All right. It's been one of those mornings around here.
Boy.
We're out of nowhere. Things just don't want to work perfectly. All right. Well, anyways, you know, it's funny. I did an interview yesterday with one of the managers from All-Star Transportation. All-Star Transportation serves our community by providing transportation to and from school and events. And you look at this called the Summer Scramble, extra help needed to meet demand. Well, the interview was about how the fact that there's not enough bus drivers. And that goes right along with the story that you have about what's happening this summer. We have various times where various pools close because there's not enough employees.
That's right. This is the second part of a series that Deborah Alexinis is doing for the Journal on labor in the Northwest Corner. You know, we look around and we can observe that, boy, there aren't as many young people around, and these are the ones who really are critical in filling summer jobs. And those summer jobs are critical to the businesses in this area. So Deborah goes through exactly why that's so important and how certain of our businesses and services have solved the problem. And, you know, I love the photograph here because this is at the Falls Village Recreation Center's community pool, and we have five young people, and one of them you know, is Carla Galais, who's the pool supervisor, not a high school kid, beyond, and she's actually Norma Bosworth's daughter, who writes our Turning Back the Pages column for us. But, you know, three of the other young people are Deckers, and boy, thank goodness for the Decker family supplying us with young people who can be lifeguards.
Absolutely. I want to move on to a story. Patrick Sullivan, rain fails to dampen the 50th anniversary of Noble Horizons.
All right. Who hasn't had some connection with Noble Horizons over the years? And what a community center it has been for all those 50 years. So this was quite a celebration on July 12th. And, you know, the administrator there, Bill Pond, was checking on his smartphone, as we all do when we're going into events, to see what the weather's going to do, and it was pretty clear that there was going to be bad weather. But even though it came, the people at the event took it in stride and stayed under the tents and were not in any way frightened by the weather. So they continued to celebrate, and, yeah, Patrick describes it all really well.
All right, the story right below with the picture, and that is the artist rendering of the railroad corridor, Sally Splane's house, and the story under it about the affordable housing and how a committee has now been established, a community committee, a new advisory group for this.
Yeah, right, which is a critical part, as people will remember and will remind people, you know, this property had been looked at before and was not voted through to have affordable housing on it. But this time, Jim Dresser, the owner of the property and the neighbor of the property, he lives adjacent, donated it to the Salisbury Housing Committee and, you know, brought in the public at public meeting to discuss how it should go. And one of the recommendations was to start an advisory group, and those neighbors will have a voice. And let's hope that this takes it in the right direction for 18 to 20 rental units being built on that 5.3-acre parcel of land.
All right. John, are you able to hear us this morning?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay.
Oh, good.
Just wanted to make sure you could hear us. You know, I sit here and I've got 52 years, 36 of them broadcasting here out of Sharon. I see your anniversary, and then I see the anniversary for the National Iron Bank, 175 years. I'm just a little teenager.
Yeah, this is a fun story if you're a history buff. It's is one of the oldest banks in the United States, and it's actually the oldest bank in Connecticut to have retained its original name, founded in 1847. There are a couple of wonderful anecdotes that Leela Hawken has provided. The original cost of building the bank building in Falls Village was $2,500, and the cashiers lived on the second floor, pretty much to provide bank security after hours. Then under President Lincoln, they created a national currency system, so the bank stopped issuing its own currency. We have a facsimile of a $1 bill on the front page. It's pretty fun.
Interesting story, and like I said, we put everything in perspective. Now, how long has it lived? The journal, 125 years, right?
Mayor, 125. Yeah.
We start looking at our triple-digit numbers, and you know you've done something right over the years. Story that you've got, once again, on Stafford Springs Hospital seeks to close its labor and delivery unit.
Yes, this is part of a partnership we have with Connecticut Mirror. We have sent them stories, and we use theirs. This is another example of rural hospitals facing fiscal challenges and finding ways to make their costs balance out. And unfortunately, it isn't easy. And so a lot of patient advocates are arguing that cutting services in rural hospitals can really have big negative impacts. So we just did a little coverage of the Johnson Memorial plan to close out its labor and delivery unit, which is, as everybody here knows, is in the wind at Sharon Hospital.
All right, moving on here, and this is a big story, and this is a story that bears notice, and that is in Kent, where they have a proposal up for a trooper stationed at the school.
Yes, the Kent Board of Education, citing the Uvalde, Texas massacre, is proposing hiring a second resident state trooper for the town. There are other ideas floated. They seem to be, the selectmen seem to like the idea of hiring a second trooper who would be at the school during the school year and available throughout the summer for other things. It's about $187,000. To do this, they would split it with the town, the school paying the larger share, and they've decided to go right ahead and move this on to the Board of Finance for a review.
All right. I want to bring some up. I'm a subscriber to the Lakeville Journal. We pick up the Lakeville Journal here. I'm having trouble reaching your website this morning, the paper. I normally like to bring it up on a computer when I'm in here, but I can't this morning. I don't know if it's just me or if it's anybody else. So I'm just going to pass that along to the big boss who's listening.
Thanks very much. We always like to know when things like that occur.
Well, there might be something wrong with my account, too. That's what the boss
Probably
too.
Not, because it would come up anyway. We'll see.
I really have gotten so used to when I'm sitting here at the radio station, even though we get the paper here, bringing it up on my screen.
I know. And so how many times has that worked when you've done it? I'll just ask that question.
99.9999999% of the time.
But that's okay. No, we will take a look at that. And as you well know, all kinds of things can happen.
Yeah. But I still think there might be something with my account. We'll see what happens here. Okay. Let's go on to the story that we'll talk about, and that is the firehouse in Falls Village, the former firehouse. That sale has been put on hold.
Yes, the Planning and Zoning Commission has some concerns about septic systems, so the Board of Selectmen decided to basically reset the sale on that former firehouse. And it means that, I think it doesn't mean the end of things, but they're going to sort of pull it out of the market and take a look at what's going on and come back to it. They're trying to raise, they want to make sure they do the smart thing.
Yeah. Also, you've got an interesting, and people in Salisbury know about this, the state has proposed cuts in parking spaces near the town's crosswalks in North Canaan.
Right, and I believe this is pretty sure it's right at the, you know, the dead center location of Route 7 and 44, which comes under the state scrutiny. And they, I think they're looking at sort of reducing the amount of parking right on either side of a crosswalk. This comes right up against a possible issue for Roma Pizzeria. But anyway, the selectmen are going to sort of take some time to figure this out. There isn't a lot of parking in downtown Canaan right at that spot anyway.
Well, it's an interesting, if you're sitting there and you're facing, actually on Route 7, you're facing south, you get a big truck that wants to make that right turn off of 44 onto Main Street. Even though they've got, you got to back up quite a bit, so the truck's got room to move. So I'll be following that story along. Now, a couple of stories that you'll find online, but and that is the Sharon Town Hall parking lot plans and the Rescue Plan Act and also and the affordable housing plans in North Canaan.
Yes, both of those stories are online. I'm sorry, I guess you can't see them right now because of your problem, but both in the case of Sharon, they are looking at expanding the parking lot, updating it, and putting some additional lighting into it. It involves a little bit of digging and some other issues. They've also, I think it's pre-awarded individuals and nonprofits some more ARPA money. That's in that story. The North Canaan story is interesting. Planning and Zoning heard another sort of lengthy result out of a survey of the community's needs for affordable housing. North Canaan has more affordable housing than some of the other towns, but they still have to set goals, and that's what that's about. They also heard a proposal for a condominium development up on Honey Hill Road.
All right, nice pictures of railroad days as we flip the page over. And I want to mention today at, I think it's 11 o'clock, the services for William Blass Jr. At 11 o'clock, the Falls Village Congregational Church. I also want to mention, and Janet, years ago, the New York Times, I don't know if they still do it, they had people record their own obituaries. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but they did it years ago. Art Buckwell was one of the first persons that actually they used it with, and it was very funny. A very touching obituary written by Paul McEnroe, he penned his own obituary.
Right, and he does it in the first person, yeah. And it's completely charming, and it's so, well, you have to read it, and he writes at the end of it, in ending this, "You probably wish someone else had written my obituary. It would have been much shorter! Exclamation point. It was my last chance at expressing myself." So, you know, it's such an interesting approach, and he certainly was a philosophical guy.
All right, I want to move on to the editorial pages, and this once again goes to the number of years, and that is 58 years and counting.
That's right, and this is Railroad Days. You know, it's just incredible. We do tend to take some things for granted in our region, and this is such a part of our culture, Canaan Railroad Days, that I think people just sort of think it happens every year by magic. But boy, it is kind of magical, but it takes an awful lot of work and dedication to make these things happen. And in 5 days, they had more events than many towns could do, you know, in weeks or months or, you know, just one at a time. But nope, Canaan does them all. Carnival, fireworks, parade, sidewalk sales, giveaways at businesses, free rail rides, a vendor fair, tent sale, road race, outdoor concerts, car cruises, barbecue chicken, you know, the list goes on. And so what a weekend it was. It was a long weekend. We talk a bit about some of the history. Maybe people who are in the area from the time, you know, they were kids remember other events they had too. I heard people disappointed because there wasn't a Ferris wheel at the carnival. But you know what? There was a lot going on, and they had plenty for people to do. It was amazing. So kudos to John Lennon and all the volunteers who pulled this together. It's just a wonderful midsummer weekend.
Absolutely. 58 years and counting. And the letter section, once again, I love the letter from Caitlin Lyle, farewell to Lakeville Journal Company.
Yes. Caitlin was our reporter in Millerton for 5 years, and previous to that also was an intern at the Lakeville Journal. She really started her career in journalism with us, learned how to get to know her communities in a whole different way and report on them, and we're very sad to see her go, but very happy that she's continuing in journalism. It's not that simple of a choice anymore. And she's making it, and she's going to the Danbury News Times, where she's already begun work, and working for Hearst. And so best of luck to her. She writes about what she learned and what she experienced in her years with us, and we only wish her the best.
You know, I know exactly how you feel. We lost a longtime employee who came here at a young age, developed into an outstanding person, and developed into an outstanding employee. Was with us, I think, for almost 10 years. And it's kind of, you feel like a parent. You're so glad they're moving on and they're improving and they're getting a better job, but you're sad that they're leaving the nest.
Right, you know? It is. You're right. It is kind of like a parent. It's like, well, we want you to do really well, but we're going to miss you.
Yeah. There's that deep feeling. Above that, the letter from Caroline Birchfield, gratitude for a 50-year partnership.
Right. Caroline, of course, is communications at Noble Horizons, which we talked about, celebrated 50 years, and they're doing that all during the summer. So much going on, and so she's thanking people for that event and, you know, just in general, the support of the community, so many partnerships that they have within the community that make a big difference for their residents and, you know, the way they continue to thrive, you know, 50 years in.
Interesting letter. If not siblings, at least first cousins. A letter on lilies.
I know. Could this turn into a tomato pie situation? This is from Daphne Drury in North Canaan, and she's writing about day lilies versus true lilies, which we had already received a letter about, and so she is giving another side to that story. We'll see if there is another rebuttal or other people who would like to weigh in. And I have to admit that I love to see those orange lilies on the side of the road too. Day lilies. I'm sorry. She talks about the actual you know, scientific classification side of it and, you know, also the emotional side of it.
All right. The residents are road repair weary. I can tell you that's the truth because even though we didn't have a terrible winter, it was bitter cold and then it warmed up and bitter cold, and that was not good for roads.
Not good for roads. So many potholes and not always where you expect them. You know, we get sort of used around here to seeing potholes in certain areas where we know there's water drainage issues or whatever. But, boy, yeah, they just seem to spring up this year all over the place. And this is from a resident of Sharon, Jonathan Friedlander, who has observed the road in their neighborhood being patched and patched and patched. And read what he says and see if you agree or have been experiencing the same thing. We'd love to hear about it.
Of course, we have the regular article, which is turning back to pages. But on the Viewpoint pages, a long-time love affair with guns.
That's right. It's from Varajan Frangian, who, you know, grew up in Egypt and had an uncle who was, a gun owner, and he grew up watching that uncle take care of his guns with such loving care. And so he talks about that and what it made him feel about guns moving forward in his life. It's really emotional and fascinating.
All right. And a view from The Edge, Peter Riva, the effects of inflation on war decisions and spending.
Right. I'm always glad when we can get Peter into our pages. He's in the Millerton News just about every week, but this is an interesting take that we had space for this week. He looks at so many different topics, and this one is one we might not necessarily think of, but it is important, you know, inflation, the economy, and how the U.S. looks at war. So, yeah, give it a read. He's really knowledgeable about it.
And the article on affordable housing of Mary Close Oppenheimer, Liv Franson.
Right. This is one in a series that's been going on for years from Mary Close Oppenheimer. We're so glad to have it, and we're so glad she's still talking to people about this. So Liv Franson, a hometown girl, grew up and went to Salisbury Central School and did finally find a home here that she could afford. And Mary tells her story and then tells the story of the data for housing in Litchfield and Salisbury. And, it, you know, all kinds of links you can go to look it up, but it's a tough issue and one we should all be very aware of.
A story that I love, Swasa heads to Alaska for summer ski jumping on grass.
Yes, what fun that is to see our own you know, ski jumpers in Alaska skiing down a metal channel to land on what really is artificial turf. But they've been up there for the few days this summer, six of them from our area, Salisbury and Norfolk and Washington, Connecticut. They went up to Anchorage, and it was a week of ski jumping training in the summer. It is definitely an odd photograph because you see we have a photograph of Carly Bannerman of Norfolk on the in run going down a 20-meter jump, and there's just no snow anywhere. Yeah. It's just all green.
You know, I think they have that up in Lake Placid at the ski jumps as well, where the United States ski jumping team practices. And I think a few members of SWASA a couple of years ago went up there and did the same thing as well. I think one of the things that they'll do at SWASA sooner or later is put that type of turf in on the smaller jumps for the younger jumpers so they can get year-round practice here as well. Let's switch over in the last 2 minutes to Compass because, once again, there's lots to see and do.
That's right. In the article section, we have Lynn Kircher writing about an exhibit at the Washington Art Association and Gallery in Washington Depot, Philip Grossman, sculpture and drawings, and a beautiful photo of one of those sculptures. Very eloquent and really worth the trip down there. Lynn gives us many reasons to back that up. And we have Crystal Radio Sessions on July 23rd. It's the Hudson Valley Outpost of a New York City reading series. And so this one is Amontillado. Don't miss it. Give it a read, and you'll see how you can access that. And there's a pirate cruise going to Sheffield Island from Norwalk, Connecticut, and it's the annual Pirates Weekend hosted by Seaport Association in Norwalk. You know, definitely a day trip, but boy, something that's very unique, unusual, and for people who find that stuff fun, you can't miss it.
And seeing as it's a pirate cruise, if you wear a mask, you're going to look like a pirate anyway.
That's right. Eye patch, mask, no one will know who you are. You can be a pirate.
Just need a parrot on your shoulder.
That's right. Exactly right.
Make sure your parrot wears a mask.
That's right. It's hard to keep them on, those parrots.
You know how that goes.
But anyway.
All right.
And we have Divya Simmers writing about echoes of the 1920s in the 2020s. Ann Leary will be at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon for their annual book signing. We are so glad to see this event back. We will have another author featured next week. Do not miss this. It's something everybody's missed. It's such a great event, and it supports the library. What could be better? And don't miss Tri-Corner Calendar. Lots going on. Read it in the paper and also online.
All right, tricornernews.com, at newsstands, of course, and, of course, home delivery as well. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. As I said, tricornernews.com is where you'll find them on the web.